Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome, everyone. Today we're diving into some of the recent stories from The Juice. We thought it would be helpful for parents and teachers to get a quick overview of what their kids are learning about. So let's kick things off with something pretty, shall we say, springtime appropriate.
Okay.
The National Cherry Blossom Festival in Washington, D.C.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so the National Park Service just announced that the blossoms there have reached the puffy white stage.
Puffy white.
Yeah, apparently that's a thing.
Yeah.
It's like the fifth stage out of six before peak bloom.
Oh, wow. So they really break it down.
They do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because this whole festival, a lot of people might know, but it actually commemorates a gift of cherry trees from Tokyo back in 1912.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so there's a whole international history element to it. And, you know, beyond just like the pretty blossoms and everything, climatologists have noticed something kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The peak bloom time is actually happening on average about 8 days earlier now compared to 100 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's a pretty noticeable shift. And it kind of brings up some potential things you could discuss with the kids, right? Like, what are some signs of spring that they see where they live? Have they ever seen cherry blossoms in person?
Right.
You know, and what does it even mean for a festival to be commemorating, you know, this kind of partnership between two countries? Or you could even get into like how climate change, you know, these long-term patterns can actually affect things like when flowers bloom.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. It's like this local event is actually tied to these bigger global ideas. It's a good way to kind of broaden their perspective.
Exactly. So moving on, there was another story that caught my eye. It was about this conservation effort happening in Burlington, Ontario.
Okay.
So for the 13th year in a row now, they've closed down a part of King Road.
A whole road.
Yeah. Well, a section of it. And they do it temporarily from like March to April to allow this endangered salamander to safely cross the road.
What kind of salamander?
The Jefferson salamander. They're kind of small, you know, 4 to 8 inches long.
Okay.
Brownish, grayish, sometimes with blue flecks, apparently.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and get this, they spend most of their time underground.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they come up to breed in these things called vernal pools, which are basically temporary bodies of water.
Okay.
And the road closures to make sure they don't get, you know, squashed during this whole migration thing.
Makes sense. So why are they endangered?
Well, in Canada they are, yeah.
Mm.
And the mayor of Burlington, she actually made a comment about it. She said it was a welcome sign of spring and that, you know, we have this duty to be stewards of the environment.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, I mean, this story could be a good way to talk about animal migration with kids, right? Like, why do animals migrate in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of obstacles do they run into? And, you know, what are those vernal pools all about and why are they so important?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can even get into the whole idea of what it means to be a steward of the environment. Like, how can we help protect the natural world around us?
Right. And there are probably tons of examples, even just locally, that kids could relate to.
Exactly. Okay, so shifting gears a bit, there was this new study out of Aalto University that caught our attention. It's suggesting that the world's population might be bigger than we thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we're talking potentially 8.5 billion people instead of the UN's estimate of 8.2 billion.
That's a pretty big difference.
Yeah. It is. And the researchers think it's because rural populations are being undercounted.
I see.
You know, because of access issues, language barriers, maybe even some folks just not wanting to participate in censuses.
Yeah, makes sense.
Right. And their findings, they were based on data from rural communities that had to be relocated because of dam construction.
Okay.
And apparently in those cases, they had way more detailed census data because of, you know, reimbursement requirements and all that.
Right.
And what they found was pretty striking. Undercounting by as much as 80% in some cases.
Wow, 80%. That's huge.
Yeah, it is. So this whole thing raises some important questions, right? Like, why is it so crucial to have an accurate count of how many people there are in the world?
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges in making sure we count everyone?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, think about the implications for those rural areas if they're being undercounted.
Right.
How does that affect things like resources and services that they get?
That's a really good point.
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about. Yeah. All right, so switching gears yet again. There was a story about a shall we say, a national security oopsie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So apparently a journalist accidentally got added to a Signal group chat.
Signal?
Yeah, like the messaging app.
Yeah.
And this chat, get this, had top officials talking about planned U.S. military actions.
Wait, they were using Signal for classified stuff.
Yeah, I know, right? So there were concerns about using a commercial app like that for classified discussions, you know, because it might not be as secure as government systems.
Yeah.
And then there's also the whole, how did they not notice this journalist was in the group chat?
Yeah, that's a big oversight.
Huge oversight. And, you know, to make things even more interesting, there's this report from Google's Threat Intelligence Group saying that even encrypted messaging services like Signal, they're not totally hack-proof.
Oh.
Yeah. So there are these Russia-backed hacking groups that have figured out ways to, you know, get into those systems.
Wow. That's unsettling.
It is. It is. And the reactions to this whole incident were kind of all over the place.
I bet.
Yeah. Some folks were calling it a gross error, while others were just brushing it off as, you know, a minor glitch.
Oh, wow. That's quite a range.
It is. So, I mean, this story brings up some good points to discuss with students, right? Like, what is classified information and why is it so important to keep it secret?
Mm-hmm.
You could even talk about the differences between secure and less secure ways of communicating.
Right.
And then, you know, what are the potential consequences if sensitive information gets shared with the wrong people?
Yeah, it's a good reminder that online security is a big deal no matter what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Okay, so we also had a quote of the day from Jonas Salk. You know, there's no such thing as failure. There's just giving up too soon.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. And Jonas Salk, of course, was the guy who developed the first successful polio vaccine.
Right. Huge medical achievement.
Huge. I mean, back in the 1950s, his vaccine basically helped to almost completely wipe out polio.
It's amazing how much of an impact that had on public health.
It really is. And you know what's interesting? He chose not to patent the vaccine.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Anyway, this quote, a good conversation starter, you know, especially when it comes to perseverance.
Yeah.
Ask kids what it means to them.
Mm.
Maybe have them think about a time when they struggled with something but kept trying and eventually succeeded.
Right. We all have those stories.
We do. We do. And, you know, you could even tie it back to Salk and his work, like what made his discovery so important.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could even get into the whole concept of patenting and intellectual property.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a lot to unpack there.
There is. There is. Okay, so last but not least, there was this report from Deloitte about women's professional sports.
Okay.
So apparently they hit a pretty big milestone in 2024. Global revenue topped $1 billion for the first time ever. Yeah, it was a lot more, actually. $1.88 billion.
That's incredible.
It is. It is. Soccer and basketball are bringing in the most money right now, with a lot of it coming from sponsorships and merchandise. And they're predicting that this trend is just going to keep going. They're thinking, you know, global revenue could reach $2.35 billion in 2025.
So basically a 240% increase in just 4 years.
Yeah, pretty much. And most of that growth has been in North America and Europe.
Yeah.
But they think there's potential to, you know, expand even further in other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there was this quote from Jennifer Haskell. She's with Deloitte. She said that women's sport is rewriting the playbook and challenging traditional norms to redefine the future of the industry.
I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. So, I mean, this story, it's a good opportunity to talk to kids about women's sports. Which ones do they know about? Why do they think these sports are becoming more popular?
Mm-hmm.
And what are some ways we can all support that growth?
Yeah.
So there you have it. Just a quick glimpse into some of the things your students are exploring on The Juice.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
And we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.